The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yosef Jacobowitz, Mechaber Sefer Gvul Rishonim on Erevin, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Nazir Daf Samach Gimel. The Gemara on our Daf of Samach Gimel deals with Tumas Meis and how Nazir is affected by Tumas Meis, becoming Tamei from a dead body. The Gemara on the Beis deals with different forms of becoming Tamei from Tumas Meis. Shlayiga, he shouldn't touch. Shlayasa, shlayal, if he touches the tumah, if one touches the dead body or a certain part of a dead body that's metamehim, or if one moves it, or if one's mahil, one makes an oil over it, there's various ways that one can become tameh from a mace, from a dead body, or from a big enough part of the dead body that one can become tameh from it. There's tumas maga, if one touches the mace. There's tumas masa, if one lifts or if one moves the mace. And there's tumas oil. If one is located in the same tent, in the same room as the mace, under the same roof, then they could also become tamei from the mace, from the dead body. Now, it's generally perceived that nowadays these halachas are not negated to us because we are not nizer in tumah and tairah. We don't have the hazor, shlishi shvi, we don't have the paraduma. We're not trying to be careful to avoid tumas mace. However, there are cases where this could pertain to us. There are some cases that could pertain to anybody. And for the most part, generally, comes relevant to Kahanim, because Kahanim, even nowadays, have to be careful not to become tameh from a mace, from a dead body. There's a procedure that's sometimes done if a person has an infection in their jaw. So in a dentist's office, a dental surgeon will sometimes, in order to fill up the hole that's caused by the infection, they'll sometimes put in ground-up human bone. It's actually used to fill up the hole in the jaw. And afterwards, it's covered up and covered over. But what they put into the person's mouth and the person's jaw is actually ground-up human bone. Now, this is not tzomus, this is bones from a mace, from a dead body. Now, in terms of the Yisrael becoming tamei from this, so even if the Yisrael become tamei, Yisrael is allowed to become tamei from a mace. The only question would be is that, you know, Be'ez Hashem, Mashiach will come soon, hopefully Mashiach will come, and then everybody's going to want to come to Beis Mikdash, bring Karim Pesach, and the question is, this person who has inside of him the ground of human bone, does he have to worry that he's constantly becoming tamei from this human bone that's inside of him, and he'll never be able to bring Karim Pesach? Even though we'll all become tar from the Tumas Mace that we have now, with the Paraduma, with going to the Mikvah, but what's going to be with this person who has the ground of human bone inside of him? So in terms of this, there's many ways to get out of it, many reasons why it shouldn't be a problem. We could say it's called Tumah Blua, a Tumah that's inside a person's body, that's absorbed and swallowed up inside the person's body, does not make him Tumah, so it's Tumah Blua, so from that point of view, it would not make him Tumah anymore once it's inside and covered up. There are other svaras, other reasons to say that once it becomes attached to a person's body, it becomes bolted to that person, becomes a part of that person, and since that person who has this bone inside of him now is a live person, so all the bone that's part of him is considered like the bone of a live person, although this bone originated from a different person that was ground up after that person died, but at this point it's considered part of a live person, and therefore is not metamehim. So Yisrael would really not have any problem, any reason why he would not be able to have this human ground of human bone used in the procedure to fill up his infection in his jaw. But the question is in regards to a kohen. The question is a kohen allowed to have this procedure done? That ground of human bone is used to repair a hole or an infection in his body, generally in the mouth. It could sometimes happen even in other parts of the body. We're going to focus right now on the dentist office, on the dental procedure. And the question is altogether, may a kohen walk into a room which has this supply, he walks into the dentist's office, and in that room they do surgeries, and they have this container with the ground up human bone in the room, so is the kohen allowed to walk into that room altogether? Does he have to worry about tumas oil? Like we said, there's different ways for a person to become tamei from a mace. Through maga and masa, through touching or lifting up and carrying the tumah, the mace, or the bone from the mace, and also through oil, through being under the same roof, being in the same room, being in one room with the mace, or the power of the mace that's metamehim, is also a problem for a kohen. He also has to be careful about that. So does a kohen have what to worry about when he walks into a dentist's office, or at least when he walks into a dental surgeon, and is a kohen allowed to have this procedure done? So we're going to take apart the shiloh over here, step by step. So the first thing that should be noted is that anybody who's allowing their bones to be ground up for use in a dental procedure after they're dead, for the most part, it's not going to be a yid. For the most part, it's going to be a goy. And we can say that this bone, wherever it came from, chances are it came from a goy. Whether because we could apply the rule of called a parish meruba parish, it probably came from most of the people in the world that they're a goyim. Or we could say that it's statistically most people out there are goyim. Practically speaking, most yidim are not allowed this to be done to them. A frum yid for sure, even a fray yid. Many of them, or most of them, hopefully, are at the point that they were not allowed their bones to be ground off after their passing away after the patira in order to be used for dental purposes. So generally it comes from a goy. What's the halacha of a goyish meis? Does he create tumah? Does he not create tumah? The Shulchan Aruch says in Yerideas, the Mishnah in Beis Sif Beis, the kibbe obis chavim, the kever of a goy, nochon lizar, it's proper, it's appropriate to be careful. Hakayin, the kayin should be careful, milelechalim, for going on top of them. That means the rachila, a kayin, should avoid becoming tumah from the kever of a goy. And the Ramah adds, alfish yesh bekilim, there's somewhere a mekel. The nochon hachmer, it's proper, it's appropriate for a kayin to be machmer, not to become tumah from the kever, from the grave of a goy. Then he says, "I'm a kavish mumer of his chavim matamik gishay yisrof." The yid, he went up the derech to the point that he's mamish a mumer to his chavim. He worshipped idols. He has the din of a yid because he's a full-fledged yid. He's born to Yiddish mother, even though he didn't keep any of the mitzvahs. However, a goy, his kever, we can't say that's also for a kohen to come tummy from it. It's just nochal nizar in the words of the machaber. It's proper to be careful. Nochal lahachber. It's proper to be machaber in the words of the Ramah. This is actually a machlekes bishayim, which comes from machlekes tanoim. There's a machlekes tanoim if goyim, if the kever of a goy is batame, if a goy is batame tumas oil, because the pasuk says adam ki yamas ba oil. When the adam is dies in the oil, then there's tumas oil. Now anyone who's in the same oil as the mace becomes tummy from him. Now Reb Shimon, the Tanah Reb Shimon Yochai, he has a drasha, the atom kriyim adam, the ein adam yichavim kriyim adam. Only atom, only a yid is called an adam. The goy is not considered an adam, and since a goy is not considered an adam, therefore if a goyish person passes away, his body, his bones, his flesh, whatever's left of him, the whole body does not create tumas oil. Only a yid who passes away creates tumas oil. That's the opinion of Shimba Yochai. The Rabbanan argue with Shimba Yochai. The other Tanam argue, and therefore there's a question how to paskin. The Rambam is Mekel. As we'll soon see, the Rambam in two places is Mekel. And the Rambam says that Goyim are not Tomei Tumas Oil. The Rambam says in Hilkos Tumas Meis, Perek Alef Halochi Gimel, the Ein Oil Gechav Matamba Oil. Goyim are not Matamba Oil. The Rambam says, there was a Kabbalah. The Rambam has his own source to this Halochi. It doesn't bring up Shimba Yochai's Grosha. But the Rambam does paskin that a Goy is not Matamba Tumas Oil. The dead body of a Goy, if one walks into the same tent, the same room as it, he does not become Tomei from it, unless he's Maga Masa will deal with, but Tumas Oil does not apply. The same is said by the Rambam also in Hilchos Avelus, Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel. He says that we already explained many of the dinim of Tumah and Oil at Tumah, and in Hilchos Tumas Meis. And the Rambam says, Hashem B'yarnu, there in Hilchos Tumas Meis, we already explained, She'ein Adu Chav Matam Ba'Oil, that Goyim are not Matam Tumas Oil. L'figuch Kivrasim Taharim, their grave, the grave of a dead Goy, is Tar. U'mutu L'kayim L'kayim Hashem, the Goy is allowed to walk in there, for L'idruch HaKivrasim, and to step on their Kvarim. So there's no issue of Tumas Oil by a Goy. That's how the Rambam holds. However, other Rishonim argue on this. The Torah already brings some Tshuvas Rosh. That's not so simple to make about this. And therefore, both the Mechaber and the Ramah say that a kohen should try to be careful not to become tamei from the kever of a goy. Ramosha was already asked, the Tshuva in Igros Ramosha, that Ramosha Feinstein has already asked the Shaila about a kohen who wants to visit a sick person in the hospital, is he allowed to walk in or not? And Ramosha says, Hinei Ivarman Mesama Bati Cholim, is near Deah, Chelik Alf, Chelik Beis, actually, from the Kuf Samach Vav. They varm the limbs that are found in a hospital, because they varm a whole limb, a finger or something like that, is also, whether from a dead person or if it's amputated from a live person, that also creates tumas meis. See, yesh lemeis abas ruma deruma shem shenachem. We can say the vast majority of these they varm are lying around the hospital are from goyim. Ramosh is assuming that dead bodies are usually removed pretty much right away, whether it's in the morgue, and often once it's in the morgue, there's no issue of tumah anymore because it goes out through a back entrance, or whether it's removed entirely from the hospital. Ramosh is worried about these they varm that sit around. So Ramosh does Kilavash Abdina saying that besides the fact that in our country, in America, the vast majority of people are goyim, the vast majority of Yidden, Ein Mashma never allow Latech Sameis to cut up a dead body without permission from the relatives. Also, Lamedina Machusa, it's illegal, lastly, Tuach, to take apart a corpse, the dead body of a person. And he says that's hardly unlikely. It's only a muta, the Rishi Yisrael, a tiny percentage, a minute percentage of Risham, Yidnu or Risham, they allow you to take an Aver from the dead body of a relative of theirs. So therefore, Moshe says that Medina Yisrael is Basruba Shem Shanachim. We could go by the vast majority which are Goyim. Shenivsek Nikar Din Shem Matam Ba'Oil. The halacha is Me'ikar Adin and Amatam Ba'Oil. We're Machmer, the Shulchan Aruch, the Machaber, and the Ramah say the one should be Machmer, but the Ramah's understanding of the Shulchan Aruch is saying that Me'ikar Adin, really the Psaq is that Goy is not Matam Ba'Tumas Oil. Like the Rambam says. And Ramosh says that we can assume that these Evarim, these body parts that are sitting around in the hospital, that are there for testing purposes or for other purposes, they really come from Goyim. They don't come from Yidden, because Yidden wouldn't allow their Evarim or their mason to be sitting around in a hospital. That's what Ramosh says. We can say the same thing with his bones, that Yidden would not allow the person who passed away, they would not allow the bones to be ground up and used for dental purposes, for a dentist office. So we can assume it comes from a guy. Rav Moshe says once it comes from a guy, v'chein l'tzorach godli yesh b'hatir l'koyin l'vakachol l'koyvoy. If there's a very big need, we can allow a kohen to do b'kacholim by his relative, k'lem neitzara godov. It's a big tzara for him, it's very hard for him that his close relative is in the hospital, it's very important to go visit him. Shechaylu ov v'benoy, let's say the chaylu, the sick person, is the kohen's father, or it's the kohen's child, we would allow the kohen to go visit because of the important need of the kohen being allowed to go visit his father or visit his son. Because of Shalom and the Mishpacha, we allow the Krev Ishtar, the relatives of one's wife, of the Kain, and it has his father-in-law or son-in-law, such a person would be any such relative from his wife's family or through his children that would be in the hospital. Any case that there would be a Shiloh Shalom Mishpacha of Shalom in the family, and there's a big enough tzarach to allow the Kain to go visit, then Ramesh also allows it. Based on this assumption that the tumor we're talking about is tumor from a guy, not tumor from a yid. The koshin k'shish tochelov, once a wife is sick, certainly, in shabbayis kedoma, certainly he'll allow to go in. Very much says he should try to do his best to find out if the yid shemes there. But if it's not possible to find out if the yid shemes there, like in a big hospital, it's very hard to keep track of, so it's very hard to know. We can assume that most of the mason there are goyim and not yid. And Ramesh gives an example of Bellevue Hospital, Hospital of Gadol, a very big hospital like Bellevue Hospital. He says there's almost always a mason over there. Because there's so many sick people, there's almost always a dead body there. We can assume the vast majority of the time that it's a guy. So if it's not possible to find out what's really going on, you can assume it's all goyim, and the kohen can walk in. So we have over here a heter from Ramesha to assume in such a case like ours that the tumor we're talking about is tumas akum. It's not from a yid, it's only from a guy. So that's step number one. We're talking about tumas akum. Now we're up to step number two. Is a kohen allowed to be mako and tumas akum? The Shulchan Aruch says it's better to be machmir. Or Ramesha says if it's a tzarech gadol, it's a big need, like one has an immediate relative of his own or through his wife or something to that effect in the hospital. It seems that Ramesh will allow, or Ramesh says that he will allow the kohen to go visit. So if you hear this kohen who's having this surgery being done, he has an infection in his mouth, and this is the standard procedure I've done to correct it. So in terms of the kohen having the procedure, the tumas oil from the guy, that's not going to bother us. The fact that he's going to be in the same oil as the ground of bones of the guy, that's not going to concern us. Now, what's the shear for tumas oil by bones, a gram of bones? We're not talking about a whole dead body over here. So there's two mishnayos and olus. In Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph, it says that roiva asamas, or roiva hakav, which is a lug of asamas, that's what's betame tumas oil. It's betame b'mago mas of oil. It has tumas oil. However, Mishnah Gimel says that etzem kesera, a tiny bone the size of a barley, kernel of barley, that's how much bone you have to have of tumas mago masa. So for the time being that we're dealing just with tumas oil, now with tumas mago masa, we're talking about the kohen walking into the room, and even in terms of the kohen having the procedure, right now we're only going to deal with the aspect of tumas oil, that it's going to be, he's obviously being in the same room as the bone that was being put in his mouth, we're not going to deal with mago masa for the time being. So in terms of tumas oil, so now we have to figure out as follows. There's a container here with a tremendous amount of ground up bone. Based on the case, exactly how much bone is in the container, whether it's a large container or a small container. Now, we have to worry over here only about really about tumas, about a quarter of a cow of tumas, because we're dealing with tumas oil. So etzem kesera, a small bone the size of a barley kernel, does not create tumas oil, only tumas mago masa. Tumas oil, you have to have a really about tumas. Now, there's a tremendous amount of ground up bone over here in the room. And the kohen wants to walk into this room. For the kohen to have the procedure himself, that we're not going to worry about for the time being, because right now we're only dealing with tumas oil, and if the tzara of gold is a big enough need, we allow the kohen to become tummy tumas oil from a guy. We're worried right now about the kohen walking into the room, if it's not just a big tzara. He has something else that has to be done in this dentist's office over here, and it's sitting around this container of bone, and sitting as such in a way that the kohen is in the same oil as it. So really, it's machlekes of the Akiva and the Chachamim over there in Olus Perek Beis Mishnah Vav, if you have a roiva kaf from shnei mesim, from two dead bodies. That means you have some ground up bone from one body and some from a different body. Presumably that's our case. That there's a container here that they take wherever the source is, that they have this ground up human bone, and they have from all different people who are willing to donate after death for the purpose of medical use and dental use. They're willing to, the family is willing to donate the bone of the dead body. And now it's all over here in this container, and it's mixed together from all different people, and then gets split up and goes all over America. So each container that ends up in each dentist's office has mixed together from a tremendous amount of people. Now, Rabbi Kiva holds that if you have a roivat samas from two mason, it combines as vitamin ba'oil. However, the Rabban argue, and the Gemara knows it after the base, it's really based on the Sefta Perek Dalad, and all this, it seems that Rabbi Kiva was moida to the Chachamim, so it seems that Lahalocha, and as they pass on the Rambam, in Perek Dalad, Hilchos Tumas Meis Halocha Aleph, that roivat samas is only matam ba'oil if it's from one dead body. If it's a combination of two dead bodies, then it's not a problem. Combination of bone from two different people, it's not really a problem. There's no tumas oil whatsoever. So in order for it to be a problem of tumas oil, in order to create tumas oil, we have to have a roi v'asamas from one dead body. How much is a roi v'asamas? It's the size of a lug, like we mentioned. Now, the commonly known shear, the revius of lug, a quarter of a lug, is the shear of how much you have to have for kiddush, for abdullah, for all different
how much wine you have to have many different mitzvahs, and the share of Revius generally is assumed to be about 3 or 4 fluid ounces. For the Raises, people are Machmer, maybe 4.42 fluid ounces. Chazanish had a bigger share, more than 5 fluid ounces. People have much bigger shirim that they worry about for the different dinim. Over here, are not going to be able to use those shirim lekula, but let's assume that Revius is 3 to 4 fluid ounces. So therefore, the Roiva Akav, which is 4 times that amount, the size of a full lug, is 12 to 16 fluid ounces, which is 1.5 to 2 cups of ground up human bone. To say that there's so much bone over here from one dead body in this container is highly, highly unlikely. Because remember, we said that it takes from many different people, and they mix it all together, it all gets mixed together, and then gets split up and sent in containers to hospitals and to dental surgeons all over America, or possibly all over the world. So in this container, is mixed together from bones from a tremendous amount of people. So it's highly, highly unlikely that there's this amount, there's 12 to 16 fluid ounces from any one dead person. So therefore, we can safely say that there's no real tumas oil over here. And since there's no real tumas oil over here, there's no reason why a kohen would not be able to walk into a room or to a dentist office to have this human bone. In terms of the kohen having the procedure done to himself, so we have to take apart the various shilas, maga, mas, and oil. For the time being, at this point, we're just discussing tumas oil, and since we said that we can assume it comes from a guy, so tumas oil altogether for a big enough tzarech, tumas oil of a guy, willing to make all about. But we said that even if it's not a big tzarech, the kohen just wants to walk into the room, he wants to be there together with someone else who's having the procedure done, he has a family member that's having the procedure done, even if it's not so important for the kohen to go there, he can really send someone else, he can send his wife to go along, he can send someone to go instead. There will not be an issue of tumas oil, because tumas oil is only if you have a roiva atzamas, which is 12 to 16 fluid ounces from one mace, one dead body, and we can safely assume that we don't have 12 to 16 fluid ounces of ground up bone from one dead body in this room.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.